Fire engines red, fire engines blue, fire engines are coming all around you with noise and power and magic and wonderment, and there's no fire to put out. This is Dr. Herbert L. Wiley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, School of the Master here in Campo, California, with the thought for today, I guess. Thought for today is pretty good. And our topic is not the fire engines, but it's the absolute love. Now, we were talking about absolute love, unconditional love. We were saying, how do you live unconditional love? How do you describe unconditional love in positive terms? Unconditional means un-something. And how do you describe a perfect lover? One who knows how to love. And how do you describe a perfect unhappy lover? One who doesn't know how to love, you know. And so here we are with our unconditional lover. Now, what is unconditional love? Unconditional love is loving, here we go again, without judgment, loving without possession, loving in every good possible way. You see, when we think of a relationship, we think of man, woman, married, possession, license, agreement, eternally. We think of Mr. Trump and his great large sums of money. And the reason we think of Mr. Trump is because Donald Trump gets married a lot of times. And he marries, the women he marries are not marrying him because they love him. They truly love him too, as a wonderful source of money. But they love him because they know that if they put up with him long enough, that they can get a divorce later, and they'll get a nice sizable acquittal, you know. They'll get a nice couple $1 million to go home with, you know, which isn't bad. That's a small payment to make. So, it's marrying with conditions. And most marriages are made with conditions. They're made by people who... I will not let you go to bed with me unless we get married. You know, condition. And so you say, well, if there's a condition before we get married, man, but how many conditions are there going to be afterwards, you know? And they say, well, that's a normal thing. No. If you are in love with somebody, absolutely in love, irrevocably in love, absolutely unconditionally in love, see how you use a word, there's no thought about that. There would be no thought of this man invading your rights as a human being that you were brought up with the thought that you don't have a sexual relationship with a man until you get married. You know, many homes are raised in that. My home is like that. And you shouldn't do that. So, but if you're so madly, passionately in love with someone and you want to have a relationship, you want to have sex, what's going on? You're not really madly, passionately in love. You just want to have this emotion met. You want this feeling fulfilled. And it has nothing to do with a real feeling of compassion toward one another. If you really love someone, you could never violate their principles. And of course, if a person really loved themselves, they would never allow their principles to be violated for any reason. Well, I could go to bed with Bill Gates, you know, and have this experience with him. Hey, big deal. Bill Gates isn't about to upset his married life, which he enjoys very much, and he isn't about to upset his family or his own personal values, whatever they may be, and I'm sure they are probably along that line. He's not going to violate those values just to have a passion of the moment. He's beyond that. He is a person who loves with absolute love, with unconditional love. Now, you say, Herb, how do you know all these things about these people? Well, because they have another factor which we forget about too often. They have unlimited money. They could buy any condition they want. Everybody is for sale for something or other. And they could buy any condition they want. And that's not where their want is. That's not where their want is. Bill Gates has the opportunity to go out and buy countries, you know. He has the opportunity to go out and buy politics. He has the opportunity to go out and buy control of this, that. And he doesn't do it because that's not interesting to him. What he does is buys companies that are working in the field that, of computers that he delights in. And now, because his wife, whom he apparently loves very dearly, and they get along just fine, and their children are just beautiful and what have you, his wife was given the onerous job, that's O-N-E-R-O-S, job, of being the in charge, the chairman or the president or whatever it is, of their nonprofit corporation, which gives away their billions of dollars. Now, just to say the word 30 billion, 50 billion, I mean, it sounds outrageous. And who can give away that much money? Well, anyhow, that's her job. But Bill thought, that's a tough job, but she took it on. And he was having fun doing his work, but his work no longer was fun. It was now just a matter of upmanship, one-upmanship. Some new little gadget comes along, some new little thing. You know, the wristwatch with the television on it, not television, but, you know, radio and intercom, everything on it. And so he got interested in all these different things. Then he watched his wife. And as she went out to give money away to organizations that were using it wisely and to third world hospitals and things like that that were very significant and meaningful, she came home with stories of her adventures and her feeling of being able to be something significant to other people in the world that made her so happy. He had to get on that bandwagon. He had to go with her. And he went with her. And as he went with her, he felt that same joy. And he says, "Sweetheart, I'm joining you. The two of us will go and do this work together." And she says, "Wow, that's wonderful, you know. That's wonderful. And we'll still be chairman or CEO or whatever it is of Microsoft, but we'll let everybody else run the business." And that's great. That's great. The chairman of IBM, the guy who started it, couldn't run it all his life, you know. He had to turn it over to other people, and turn it over to stockbrokers, and turn it over to all these other things, you know. But so, now, you and I, just consider that if you like, for the image point of view, that you're Bill Gates, and you're Melinda Gates, you know. And you can do anything you want. You have this $52 billion, and there's no limit to that, you know. And you can go and help whomever you want, or serve whoever you want, or bless whoever you want, or whatever way you want to look at it. And you can go out and do something of that nature. Now, would you say that was unconditional love that you give? Are you giving to them because they don't need it? Are you giving to them because they need it? Or are you giving to them because you would like to see these people in these third worlds have a few more advantages that the people have in the so to speak, first world countries, you know? You'd like to see the people have better sanitation. You'd like the better hospitals, better schools. Well, we could do that everywhere. And that is a very noble type thing to do. Very wonderful. I think it'd be interesting if Bill Gates would buy, say, 2,000 or 3,000 people, buy them, employ them, buy 2,000 or 3,000 people, and put them to work every day on meditation. Put them to work every day on seeing the world at peace. Put them to work every day on seeing the world in harmony, on seeing the world abundant. Everyone on earth enjoying abundance. Just 2,000 or 3,000 people. It wouldn't need to be that many, but it's a nice game. And with the power of the energy of 2,000 or 3,000 people. And he pays them a good salary, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're enjoying this. Well, now, would his gift in that way perhaps be more significant than any hospital he would want to die in. You know? Wouldn't that be something? Now, wouldn't that be something if a tragedy took place and something terrible was taking place? I can't imagine any tragedy or anything terrible thing. I don't want to either. But some tragedy was taking place, and it's an ongoing thing. Let's say the hurricane or the flood or some silly thing like that. And so Bill Gates says, okay, guys, here we go. All's in divine order. Down in New Orleans, all's in divine order. All's in divine order. All's in divine order. A hurricane is coming in off the Florida coast, and it's a wham-doozle. And everybody's worried about it, and everybody's upset. Bill Gates says, okay, boys, go to work. Unconditional love, you know, absolute love. All is in divine order. That's absolute love. All is in divine order. Absolute love. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. With their concentrated, powerful, caring thought, just imagine what would happen. Sincerely, they're being paid to think those thoughts, and they have agreed to do it, and they are the power thinkers of the world. They're hired as the power thinkers of the world because they can imaginatively, creatively, enthusiastically, and powerfully speak their word to bring about great good upon earth. Now, wouldn't that be something? I mean, Bill Gates' money would really start going to a good purpose then. Now, to all those people he has on his power team. But truly, that's what a think tank does. Gets together thinking of ideas for creative imagination. You know? Saint Germain did the same thing, you know? Over in the Colorado Mountains, he had a place there where he was doing all this sort of creative thinking. But now, what about you guys? What about you guys? And when you hear of any little incident in the world, you know, like bridges falling down or something like that, what's the first thing you think?
Honestly, if I know.
You almost said it before your first breath. But that's great. That's great. All is in divine order. All is absolute love. Absolute love. All is in divine order. Now, if nature wants to throw things around, that's okay. But not where people are living. You know, out in the ocean. Choo-choo-choo. You know. And it doesn't have to be that way. Why do we ever have to have violence in the world? Why? Ever? Because people think it's necessary. People think it's the yin and the yang. You know? The yin and the yang. The yin and the yang has nothing to do with positive and negative, even though we think it does. The yin and the yang is the natural activity of the body muscles, the in and the out, the in and the out, where you move your arm backward and forward, and the muscles pulling in, and the ligaments are pulling in, and then they are relaxed, and the muscles are pushing them out, and they're pulling it in. That's just the yin and the yang. That's the simple, loving, absolute love attitude of the universe at work, you know? It works so beautifully, and I got to stop saying, you know, because that's a very limiting aspect of talking. It's like saying, and the, you know. So those days were gone too now, you know. So we want to keep on top of ourself and always speak our word positively. We know miraculously and incidentally of the astronauts who went up into space, and NASA could not get their ship back. They could not make their ship come back. NASA could not make their ship come back. Nothing could make it come back. And the time was coming to the point where they had to come back to be within the envelope of being picked up and that, this, that, and the other thing. So, one radio announcer said, well, let's pray for him. And his proposition was spread throughout the world. For some reason or other, everybody picked it up. They got paid by Bill Gates, you know. And so everybody picked it up. And everybody says, the astronauts are back home safely. They are landing in their landing spot perfectly. And lo and behold, they landed in their landing spot. And NASA, when they picked up the spacecraft, could not find any fault in it. could not find any reason why it would not function right, or why it did not function right, but yet it did function right, even though it didn't function right. Now, how do you like that? Yes, but you see, that's the point. There was no evidence of any breakdown in the functioning of the equipment, but there was, and there's no evidence that the equipment functioned right. It just did. Now, if that can happen, and we have enough illustrations of that in other areas too, I don't have them at my fingertips right now, but we have enough illustrations of the power of the mind doing beautiful things. And we know how people can say, okay, let's make a turnaround on this thing. Let's say there's no more gout. And so then the doctors say, okay, no more gout. So we'll create lumbago. Well, there's no more lumbago. Okay, and then we'll create rheumatism and arthritis. You know, they were always there, but how interesting. You know, give different names to different things. Do you know, idiotically, cancer has grown in a great extrapolation that is far beyond anything that's reasonable, merely because attention is given to it. The attention is given to it, and so therefore the people have it. And we go on the internet, we look up every type of illness that we can possibly dream about, and we fight the doctors, we fight the physicians, we fight everything, and then we wonder why we have these things taking place in our body. Well, we deserve to die. But we don't die. We don't die. We're going to live in a wretched body. We're going to live in a wretched mind. You know what a wretched body and a wretched mind are? A wretched body is a body that thinks it's sick, but really isn't. It acts like it's sick. It appears like it's sick. It's got all the symptoms of being sick, but it really isn't sick. And a wretched mind is a mind that thinks that it is incapable. It thinks that it cannot do things. It thinks that it is not the universal consciousness at work in that one mind. And that's a wretched mind. And many other wretched aspects of our life are like that, where we think one thing, but the truth is quite different. But the effect is just what we think. And whatever things we think about, whatever things we empower, that's what the things that we experience. Now, what do you want? What do you want? Do you want to say, Mr. Gates, why don't you hire these people? Yeah. And we say, okay, Mr. Gates, we really don't need you, but thank you. We have the Worldwide Prayer
Ministry,
and we have prayer ministries in churches all over the world. We have people doing treatment or prayer type work in every religion, in every philosophy, in every psychology of the world, and they are getting results. Now, what we want to do is to help people rethink their thinking. Let's save the whales. And the answer is? The answer is, let us recognize that the whales are living abundantly in the ocean, and they are living comfortably in the ocean, and that they are multiplying, reaching their normal numbers in the ocean, the same with the dolphins and everything else. Extinct species are always going to be extinct because we're taking away certain things from them. And the trees that have been down in Brazil and have been very instrumental in keeping a certain balance of world energies and so forth, they're gone now. All right, let us just say the world energy is in perfect balance. The ozone layer is functioning perfectly. Everything is in divine order. Ha ha ha. Now, isn't that a lot better than saying, oh God, take care of that, do whatever you have to do to make the divine order, to make the ozone function right, and to do all these things? Well, you see, that's praying to something you don't even believe and you don't even know about. Whereas if you were to say, all is in divine order now, the ozone layer functions perfectly right now, the whales are in perfect balance and harmony in the ocean, You see, all of a sudden, the desire for hunting whales would cease if the substance that was in the whale was found in some other source. Now, we are using up our natural energies, like oil, and we're finding all sorts of new ways to have the activity of oil, like from corn and from other substances, where we're making gasoline out of it and making powerful fuels and things like that. And hey, we could have done that years ago. And you know, and I know, engines have been created and have been used and have been hidden, which run on pure water. You say, how can an engine run on pure water? It's got to have combustion. Well, what is water made of? Hydrogen, oxygen. Oxygen, the most necessary part of combustion. Hydrogen, the most combustible thing that you can imagine. They're put together and they're water, because that's our image of them. Now, if we want them to be a combustible material, fine. Now, how do you get the sun to give up its energy and its power? Well, you have solar panels. And with the solar panels, you have that go into batteries, and then the batteries feed whatever you want to have the batteries feed. We have more genius, more ability, more opportunity to live in a wholesome, healthy, fantastic world than we ever dreamed about. But we limit ourselves by thinking that to save the whales, we have to stop people hunting whales. When the refrigerator came along, the Iceman, in many ways, went out of business. But they still found ways to use ice, because ice is available. But the amount of ice that was used for the refrigerators in the homes is like 10% of the amount of ice that's now being produced, you know, because it's being used in so many other ways. Every hotel has ice that they buy, and they have it available to their patrons to put with their mixed drinks in their hotel rooms and stuff like that. And it's amazing. And in all the bars, on the airplanes, you go on an airplane and you think that you're getting pure ice to drink there, but that's the ice that came out of the country that you didn't believe in their water, and so you only drank bottled water. And here you're drinking ice water, ice cubes, right from that country, you know? And we're not hurt by it. We're not killed by it. We're not made dead by it. But we worry about it, you know? We put our worry in the wrong direction. Yes, the fire engines go by and all the excitement goes on. And we'll always have that until we calm down and say, all is in divine order. We calm down and say, absolute love directs, controls, guides, and is my life. And that's all that matters. It's wonderful, isn't it? Really wonderful. Well, thanks for letting me share with you. And know that you can take this thought for today and make it your thought for forever, because it works. I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.